This morning I entitled the message I'm going to bring, A Clean Slate. How many of us need a clean slate this morning as we begin a new year? And so I'd like to read this morning in Romans 13, verses 11 and 12. It says, and that knowing the time, that now is not high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. You know, as we begin a new year, we need a do-over. We serve the God of second chance. Just ask Jonah, or look at Samson, or Peter. If you've been born again, it's because you were granted a second chance. And just as God's forgiveness never runs dry, we actually don't run out of second chances. Forget the new year. Every new moment is a second chance until we run out of time. Hebrews 10:25 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And then, I read the wrong verse. And then looking at Hebrews 10:25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day is approaching. You know, when life goes smoothly, you don't grow so much. The year of your life that goes the most smoothly will be the year that you grow the least. 2021, we've seen a lot of monumental growth for Christians who kept the faith. There were a lot of challenges for us this past year. But there's some things I'm thankful for 2021. Number one, for putting me on fire to purify. For stretching me so I can be broadened. For giving me open doors to witness to people that are hurting and searching, for giving us more family time, for reminding us that God is our leader, not some political person, for providing that when it comes to the church, the gates of hell will not prevail against it, for teaching us to turn off the news and dwell in the truth, for demonstrating that the world doesn't give us our peace, and so the world can't take it away. For being difficult, because difficulty strips away all of our false hopes that we place in fleeting things and false foundations, so we get back to finding our true identity in our Creator and our Sustainer. For providing that we need each other. You know, in these days, we need each other. And particularly in the church family, we need each other. And so we need to get back to reaching out to each other. And you know, we need to, I also discovered that settling forever any doubts about whether God keeps his promises to his children. And so as we begin this new year, we have a clean slate. And so thanks 2021 for ending and leading to a new beginning with a future as bright as the promises of our God. We now officially leave 2021 behind a couple of weeks ago. Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. God wants this new year to be a new beginning for us to make a fresh start. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. What is the one thing that most people have in common at the new year? Most of us make resolutions, don't we? One young boy asked his father what his New Year resolution was. And the father said he was going to do everything possible in the new year to make his mother very happy. And so the boy asked his mother what hers was. And she says to do everything possible to make sure your father keeps his resolution. And so the number one resolution in America is always this, to lose weight. How many of us need to lose weight? I'm sure we all do, especially after Christmas and the holidays. There is a wife that came into the bathroom to see her husband standing on the scales with his stomach sucked in. And she said, "Is that really going to help?" And he said, "Sure, or else I can't see the numbers." And so we need to make a resolution to be FAT, faithful, available, teachable. You must be faithful. I want to ask you this morning, how faithful are you to Jesus Christ? Are you faithful just when it's convenient to do so? Or are you faithful even when it isn't? Sunday church isn't a Saturday decision. It should have been made long ago. When my children were growing up, in our family, we never asked, "Are we going to church?" They knew right away where we were going. Do you make up your offerings when you miss church? Are you faithful to defend God when you're out in the public? Are you faithful in your private times? That is being faithful to Jesus. You focus on Him and do things for His glory, even when it's inconvenient for you to do so. You must be available. How available are you? Do you seek to serve God and minister to others? That's the contributor mentality. Church members today have a consumer mentality. But Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And so you also must be teachable. Are you willing to listen to the truth and grow and change? Or do you get irritated and quit listening? It takes humility to do so. You know what humility looks like? People kneeling at the altar. To be a Christian who is walking forward for the Lord and not just sitting in one spot, claiming the miracles of Christ, we need to be FAT, faithful, available, and teachable. Are you? And then we need to leave the past behind to have a clean slate. When we pray, we often take our needs to the Lord and ask His help in dealing with them. But then what do we do? What do we often do? Instead of leaving them with Him, we take them right back with us as we finish praying. We get up from our prayers and we say to ourselves, "Well, I wonder if He's going to answer that prayer." When we should trust Him and know that He's going to answer our prayers. We need to learn to leave things where they belong. God wants us to look forward, but we must press toward the mark. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." We talk about our walk in life, our walk of faith, and our walk with the Lord. And by its very nature, Walking means going forward. And as we move forward, we're always doing two things. We leave one place and we go to another. And then we need to leave our resentment behind. Luke 9:62, it says, "And Jesus said unto them, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Each and every one of us represents something. We might resent something we have said or done, or we might resent what someone else has said and done. But along with resentment comes unforgiveness. And unforgiveness is a very dangerous thing to keep in our lives. Jesus said that if we forgive, God will forgive us. But if we do not forgive, God will not forgive us. Now we must understand that to forgive does not mean the same thing as to forget. We cannot erase our memories, but we can erase our resentment. And so forget those things which hurt you, and forgive those people who did or said them. I like the old saying, "Look lovingly upon your enemies, for it is you who have made them." And so we need to look lovingly at our enemies. Also, if you stoop low enough to begrudge them, they come out on top. And so make a decision to leave your resentment behind. And then leave your worries behind. How many of us worry a lot? I'm sure all of us are guilty of that in one way or another. Worries are much like rocking chairs. They give you something to do, but they never take you anywhere while you're doing it. And so when we worry, it becomes the predominant thought of our lives. And it also causes some forms of mental illness, much stress, and things that destroy our lives. Worry has killed more people than hard work will ever do. Worry is the cause of fear. And so as we move into this year, leave your worries behind as you enter this year. And then leave your failures behind. Is achievement really success? No. Faithfulness is. The only thing you fail is when you don't try to do anything. And we need to understand that God has called us to have faith long before He called us to achieve. We are called to be in Christ, and as long as we are in Him, we are successful. When we as a nation or as individuals have strayed from our Lord, we will find failures in our lives. But when we turn back once again to Him, He will hear our pleas and He will restore us. For He is a God of restoration. And part of going forward is leaving the past behind. Imagine a trapeze artist swinging from one swing to another, high above the ground with no net under him. And as he reaches out to the next swing, what must he do? He must let go of the one he is on. And if he refuses to let go of the one of the swing he is on, will he ever be able to go to the next swing? Absolutely not. You may still accidentally write 2021 on your checks for a while, but let that year be fully completed. Let it take its rightful place in the hallway of the past. And then leave your sins behind. If you've never been saved, consider the clean slate available to you now. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Christians, God, in His long-suffering love for us, gives us second chances. He will allow us to do over now. 1 John 1:19 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And after you let go of the past, you must learn to grab hold of the future. The past has passed, but your future is an unwritten book. Each year is a representative thing. It represents to us that there is a whole new range of opportunities for us, an unlimited chance to have a better life. And at the start of every year, we see magazines publishing predictions on how they think the world will be in the coming year. Some of those predictions have been accurate, but most have fallen way short of being the truth. One such prediction a few years ago was that the 21st century time-saving technology would be so advanced that the world would not work more than 20 hours a week. And I think we can all agree that prediction missed the mark by a mile. And so it seems that no matter how far advanced technology gets, we must keep getting busier and busier. Someone said that the merry-go-round of life has gotten so fast that we now have no chance of stepping off. Ephesians 5:16 and 17 says, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And then our time on this earth is limited. And believe me, I know that. Psalm 90:10, it says, "The days of our years are 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength and labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." Our lives seem so long to us. I've been alive now as long as I can remember. And some of you must be bored stiff. But in reality, our lives are very short. They're very short. Considering that, wouldn't it do us good to make sure that we use 2022 as a time to really get right with the Lord? I mean, we need to get right with Him. And I'm talking about getting totally sold out for Jesus. What seems like forever to us is only a blink of an eye. And the psalmist writes that our life lasts no longer than the vapor of our breath. It's here, and then it's gone. Two teenagers who are in love can sit in a car talking over an hour, and it only seems like a minute to them. However, that same hour seems like an eternity to their parents. And so we must also prioritize so that we do not lose what we have to overload. How many times do we hear that? Because someone has been so stressed out from overload, they snapped or had a meltdown. Have you ever heard of anyone having mental or emotional problems because they had everything under control? It's better to do just one thing and do it well than to have so many irons in the fire and run around failing at everything. And so, in this new year, we must be sure that we have our priorities set in order. And then we must also know what the Lord's will is for us. Again, quoting the Apostle Paul, he says, "For us to be not foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." And so I'm assuming that since you're in church today, you realize that you need the Lord in your life. And it's time for us to reclaim our lives that are being taken away from us. In 2021 and 20, we got played with a lot of things, with the COVID and all these other restrictions and everything that came along. But I want to challenge you this morning. Let's make a new start now on our knees in true humility. Put God first in your lives. He has to be number one. You know, I look back to my second wife, and I can still remember the day that she got saved and how the Lord just filled her heart. She came out of a Catholic church, and she got marvelously saved. And God completely changed her life. And you know, God can change each and every one of our lives if we're willing. I'm 82 years old, and someone said to me not too long ago, "Why do you still look for opportunities to preach? When are you going to retire?" I says, "I'm not going to retire. I got things to do for the Lord." And that's the way it should be with each and every one of us, young or old. We have opportunities to reach others for the Lord. And so let's do that this year. Let's reach out to others this year and love them like we've never loved them before, because that's how we reach them. I used to, when I was a young preacher, I took a lot of soul-winning courses, and I come to discover that the only way you can really reach anyone for the Lord Jesus Christ is, number one, you have to love them first. And once you love them and they begin to trust you, then you can, then they'll be open for the gospel. And so I want to challenge you in this new year, put Jesus Christ first in your life. Father, we thank you this morning for this opportunity that we had to share your word once again. And Father, we just pray that you'll challenge us to turn over a clean slate this year and to do your will in every area of our lives. And Father, if there's someone here this morning that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray this morning they will make that decision for this year. For it's in your name we ask. Amen.